May the words of my lips and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Blow a trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. Dear friends in Christ, last Sunday we buried the Alleluias, and in a short time you will be able to come forward and have a cross of ashes imposed on your head. We are now in the season of Lent, which will last 40 days. In these 40 days, we will remember the sacrificial death of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a time of repentance and meditation. We are preparing our hearts to receive the crucified and risen Lord. We are preparing for the day of the Lord. The Old Testament often speaks about the day of the Lord, and usually that day has a grim connotation. In our reading, Joel may be warning God's people of a great plague of locusts. They will be destroyed by another nation that is coming to destroy them. Both scenarios are possible, and most scholars accept either explanation. Either way, Joel is God's prophet, and he's calling the people to repent. Note that Joel is warning all the people to repent, because this disaster will affect all, no matter what tribe, clan, or race they belong to. No one is exempt. He says this about the coming catastrophe. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your hearts. Joel tells them, God said, rend your hearts and not your garments. In other words, show real contrition, not just put on a show of sorrow. Joel also announces that if the people repent, who knows if he, God, will not return and relent and leave a blessing behind him. Obadiah was also a prophet who lived at the same time as Joel, warned the people saying, for the day of the Lord is near upon all nations. As you have done, so it shall be done to you. Your deeds shall return on your own head. The prophet Isaiah repeats a similar warning, but in a different time, in a different situation. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. As destruction from the Almighty, it will come. Ezekiel, in his day, also warns the people, saying, the day of the Lord is near. It will be a day of clouds, a day of doom for the nations. Isaiah really sums it all up when he says, behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel and with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land desolate and to destroy sinners from it. Now, it should be noted that after all these days of affliction, the day of the Lord, victories usually follow, relief followed. Many examples of this can be found throughout the Old Testament. Many examples are found in Judges, where men and women were sent by God to rescue his people after they had fallen away and been taken captive. We read in Judges about Othniel, who was the first judge. God used him to deliver his people after they had worshipped Baal. We know the stories of Samson, of Gideon, of Deborah and Barak, and they too were used by God to rescue his people. As you can see, there were many days of the Lord in the days of the Old Covenant. The New Testament doesn't paint a real bright picture of this day either, in sometimes, especially to those who do not believe in the true God. Acts reads, the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. In 2 Peter we read, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and all the works done on it will be exposed. Paul, in 1 Corinthians, says, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of the Lord? Now, I'm glad that we locked the doors when this service starts, for after hearing these dire words, I would guess that some of you would be trying to make a break for it. But if you'll please be seated and remain seated, I will try to unpack these words for you. It is true that there will be an end to this earth. I did a quick search and found 100 references to the world's end in both the Old and New Testament. The point of all this is that the end is coming, and we have been warned. That is what Lent is all about. It's a time to reflect on our preparation for the end that will come. Now, God is very patient with his people. For example, it is estimated there are over 1,656 years from the creation of Adam to the flood, where he wiped out the sinful race. 300 years, more or less, from the flood until Abraham, when he delivered a covenant. 430 years in Egypt as slaves before the Exodus. During all these periods of time, God was caring for his people and calling them to repent and listen to him. He patiently calls us today to use this time of Lent to repent. Repent comes from the Latin word penate, which means to feel pain, sorrow, or regret over something done or not done. The Greek word for this is metatato, and it has a slightly different connotation. It means to turn around, to change one's mind. Either way, we are called to do both in Lent. We are to regret with sorrow our sins and turn from them. As we travel through this season of Lent and approach Good Friday, we can listen to the narrative and see what God has done for us. We can penate, or regret and feel sorrow for our sins, and we can metatō, turn and turn around and change our minds. How do we accomplish these things? Well, first of all, we are able to do these things only by the grace of God. He gives us his Holy Spirit in absolution and confession, which we just heard, in our baptism, which is all in all. He gives us everything. He gives us his very body and blood of his Son, and in his word, like I'm speaking, he gives us the ability to create a strong faith. These words will give you faith and strengthen to walk through this sinful world. These gifts will confirm his promise of everlasting life. These gifts that I just mentioned will allow us to go out in the world and share them with our friends, our family, and our neighbors. We can now tell them of the promise and how it can bring them peace within these walls. My point is really that there are two ways to look at the day of the Lord. The first is with the terror that one would have with any cataclysmic happening, a day of death and destruction. This is seen by those who have no faith or who do not know who the true God is. But my friends, we have been given God's promise. And for all that believe in the promise given to us in Christ Jesus, it will be a day of great rejoicing, a day of jubilee. Good Friday is truly the only day of the Lord, for on that day our gracious and loving God sent his own Son to conquer our worst enemies, Satan, sin, and eternal death. On that cross, you and I were redeemed, and for those who believe are given everlasting life. Now, as you come forward to receive the imposition of these ashes, remember that they too are a reminder of the day of the Lord. That will come to you because you have been wrapped in the arms of Jesus. Will be a day of spectacular glory. Amen.